Welcome to Legal Talk with Attorney Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Auto accidents, DUIs, slip and falls, each one can change your life. But the trial-tested, trial-ready attorneys at Flesh and Beck Law relieve your legal burden. Whether you need to heal from an injury or protect your future in a criminal matter, the legal team at Flesh and Beck Law is prepared to defend your rights. Now, here's Legal Talk with your host, Scott Whatley, and attorney Kevin Flesh.
Welcome to Legal Talk. My name is Scott Whatley. Thank you so much for being with us. Our show is brought to you each week by the law firm of Flesh and Beck. 303-806-8886 is the number, and I try to tell you every show we've done over the years, put that number in your phone. Hope you don't need it, but if you do, it'll be right there at your fingertips. And it's 303-806-8886, and with that, we'll welcome Mr. Flesh. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm good, Scott.
Everything keeping you busy?
Keeping me busy. I actually, we just did a transaction with another lawyer that's retiring that's officing over in Lakewood. His name was Jim Finnegan. And Jim has unfortunately got cancer and is on the back end of that. But it's one of those things where he's a situation where he was a solo practitioner, had a long-standing practice on the west side of town, and we've taken over his practice. So we've been really busy sort of helping him through the process of retiring and then helping his clients transition over to us. So it's been a busy time of year, just a continual every day is different.
Sure.
I know. And I was helping him write his retirement letter, and it was just sort of funny because it's the practice of law, and it is really you practice. Mm-hmm. You think you're pretty good at it, and then you learn something every day. So looking forward to the days ahead and certainly helping Jim and his.
Did it make you think when you might be pinning your own?
Yeah. I mean, it is an interesting process. I'm not nearly anywhere near that time, but it's one of those things where you start talking about looking at closing up a practice and just going through that process. It's super interesting with everybody who's in the lines of sight of retirement. And of course, there's a lot of us out there in the sense of, you know, you've got baby boomers that are either there or past, and you've got it's amazing. We had a couple of years where we sort of paused, and then you start moving forward again and looking at what your life looks like going forward. And I'm sure all of our listeners have been there, or many of them have, and what your next chapter is. And so it's been really interesting. It's been a fun process, but one of those things where we still want to help as many clients and people as possible relating to the things we do. So really exciting time for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, once again, it's Flesh and Beck Law. And again, the number is 303-806-8886. And, you know, our goal with our show that we've had all these years with Kevin is just really to educate our listeners on different things in the whole kind of legal realm that Kevin works with. And Kevin, this is one today where, boy, I tell you, if there's probably one word on one side of your business, so you do the criminal law and of course, personal injury, but the word insurance sure comes up a lot.
It does. It really does. And it's this type of show that I'm not really selling a whole lot of legal services today, because we want to educate people about what's important relating to their car insurance in particular, so that when they do get into those situations where either it's a criminal defense case where you've hit somebody or been involved in an accident where it's your fault, or you're a victim of an accident where you're trying to get compensation, things that you need to know about so that you're, as a consumer, you're well versed in these things, because I think with the internet and all of the abilities to buy things online, sometimes people forget that insurance is one of those things that you really need to be talking to another human being, and that there's some real value in having a relationship with an agent.
Right.
I don't sell insurance.
No,
but this show, I really want to talk about that, because it's the hardest conversation to have with people that have been really injured, to say, well, there just aren't enough assets to go around to really help.
And no doubt rates are skyrocketing with all the car thefts and things. And I tell you, I see a million posts, I mean, tons on social media. Does anybody know a good car insurance person? You know, I mean, all over, because everybody wants to save money. But our conversation today is going to be a little bit is, don't be so quick to save $25 or $30 a month until you look at everything. And then, hey, it's your decision.
Right.
But some of these things that you need to really take a look at aren't a lot of dollars sometimes.
That's right. And especially, and it all depends on when you, it's really an individualized process in the sense that people need to look at their total circumstance and see what exactly their situation is. You know, the person that has, you know, really good health insurance and very low copays and they're well taken care of on that aspect of their lives may not need to spend a lot of money on med pay on their car insurance, for example, because they don't have that risk. If they get hurt in a car accident, they can use their health insurance all the way through and not have to pay a whole lot. Well, that person probably can scrimp on that side of their policies. Right. So the conversations that I have the majority of the time with people when we're talking about personal injury cases is we start talking about what they have for insurance. And everybody generally gives me the same line. I have full coverage. Mm-hmm. But full coverage can mean so many different things for so many different companies. And what's really important is for you to understand what your full coverage means, because mm-hmm. we've got so many different types of coverages when it comes to car insurance.
Right.
And they do different things. You know, they cover you on the aspect of liability, or they also help you in the case of uninsured or underinsured motorist coverage where you get hit and then you have coverage for yourself when the other person doesn't have any insurance or they have minimum limits and you've been in a catastrophic injury and you need help.
Okay.
So there's lots of things that people need to consider when making that buying decision. And many times you can look at a lot of different types of coverages, especially where you start talking about umbrella policies and what, you know, individuals who are high asset or who are concerned about making sure they have plenty of liability insurance, what it is that you're really buying, so that, and that translates over to potentially helping you down the road in the event that you get hit by somebody.
Right. So we're going to break down just some of the terms that most of us have certainly heard of. Some of us may know something about them, but just as you sit down and, hey, getting towards the end of a year here, maybe it's always a good deal just annually just to check your policies, make sure you understand what you have, because with the way prices are going, whether it be home insurance, auto insurance, whatever,
right.
It's good to compare and make sure, again, you're comparing apples to apples, so to speak, when you're looking at these different things. So as Kevin said, hey, our first tip, deal with someone that's local here, insurance broker, you can sit down with and talk to, let them ask questions, because they may ask you questions that you normally would not think about. And again, to make sure that you have the proper coverages. So Kevin, let's kind of review some of the limits and you know, what people should be comparing when they're looking at purchasing auto insurance.
Yeah, and you hit a really good point, Scott, with regard to, let's just first talk about sort of the definition of the different terms, because many times people really don't understand what it is that we're dealing with regard to the coverages. So the first thing is, when you get into a car accident, the first thing you want to be concerned about is who's going to pay for my medical expenses because of my injuries. So the first thing we should talk about with regard to your own policy is your MedPay coverage. That's medical payments coverage. And many people will remember the old days when we had PIP prior to 2003. That's 18, 19 years ago already. But it's one of those things where many people were aware of the fact that we were a state that was a no-fault state at that point. Mm-hmm. And what that meant is that to get compensation for your medical expenses and lost wages, you didn't have to prove who was at fault. You had coverage under your personal injury protection that would cover those things. And so you had limits relating to that, and you would make a claim with your own insurance provider, your own car insurance. That's gone away for almost two decades now, and what it's been replaced by is what's called medical payment coverage. There's no coverage now for your lost wages relating to your car insurance, except for in the instance where the other person didn't have insurance, that's underinsured or uninsured motorist coverage, or they didn't have enough to cover you. Okay. And then you'd be making a claim against your own insurance for your lost wages after you've completed your treatment and everything and you're back to hopefully 100%. But unlike the PIP coverage, we don't have a lost wage benefit anymore. What we do have is medical payment coverage, and that medical payment coverage covers your medical expenses related to the car accident. And it's very similar to your health insurance, except it's a much lower limit. Normally it's $5,000 or $25,000. I've seen policies up to $100,000. USAA has a policy that will cover much like your regular bodily injury limit, they'll have a medical payment limit.
Okay.
the idea with those MedPay coverages is it'll take care of where you really see it is the first responders will generally want to know if you have MedPay or not, because they'll glom onto that pretty quickly and make a claim. The thing that I've found in our practice over time is the MedPay coverage, the insurance companies normally don't scrutinize those actual amounts that are being charged, and they'll just pay them out with having any sort of discussion about reducing them or anything else. And so what I like to tell people relating to the MedPay coverages in regards to a personal injury case is keep that money back for yourself, because you may be able to use it for copays and other things relating to your own needs, not necessarily the first responders. You'll want to give the first responders your health insurance or Medicaid or Medicare numbers, if that's what you have for insurance, to deal with that.
So we get transported in an ambulance, you're sitting there, that person comes in with their computer, starts asking you all the questions, you know, and let's say they asked you have MedPay.
Yes. And I would say, I would decline to give that information to
just say, well, I've got health insurance.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. That's exactly right. And you have the right to do that.
Sure.
The trouble with those first responders a lot of times is they'll get that MedPay coverage and they'll make a claim, and they may, for an ambulance ride, for example, you're talking normally somewhere between $1,500 and $2,500, no matter what, and the length of the distance in which they have to travel is really how they determine how much they charge and what relationship they have with a particular hospital. Those particular individuals will immediately try to charge the MedPay because they don't have a contract relationship with them. And so let's say if your health insurance may have an agreement with them that they'll charge $700 versus $1,500. And so that's the reason that they want to get to that MedPay number. And so you may save yourself money by giving your health insurance information. They're also generally the most aggressive to try to collect their amounts that they're owed. So again, it may be later that you may be able to get a cash price that's less, depending upon what the situation is. You may be able to save yourself some money. Okay. So that's why you've got to consider that. And like I said at the beginning of the show, the MedPay coverage is definitely one of those coverages where you may be able to think about if you do have good coverages in other places that will cover your health and health needs, then maybe you don't need a whole lot in the way of MedPay, and you can reduce that as much as you can to save yourself a little bit of dough.
And when settlement comes and all that, that MedPay is something that I mean, once that's paid out, you don't have to pay that back. Right.
They don't have, by statute, they don't have a subrogation interest.
Okay.
And so that's also a really good thing, because that's another thing that in the personal injury realm, depending upon the circumstance, the health insurance provider will have a subrogation right. In other words, a right to be paid back when you get money from the at-fault party. MedPay doesn't, so that's good. Mm-hmm. And you may want to use it. It all depends on your circumstance, and that's where we come in early on, and that's why it's so important for people to talk with us about their personal injury case early on, so that we can help them negotiate those things early in the process, so that it may save you money on the back end when we get the case resolved.
Right.
Because the health insurers, we're getting a little off field from the car insurance, but it's important to note also in your inquiry about the MedPay, is your health insurer an ERISA plan or is it a state plan? Because an ERISA plan, a federal plan relating to your health insurance, has much more ability to be obnoxious about their reimbursements, and they have the ability to negotiate less with you at the back end of the case than a state-run plan. A state-run plan has, you have defenses to them being paid, such as being made whole. They agree that they have to reduce by the amount that you've been paid by attorneys, you know, that you've paid your attorneys for these sorts of situation costs. There's more ability to negotiate a reduction with a state health care plan than there is with an ERISA plan. And those are all things that you want to consider when deciding what you need for MedPay coverage.
Right. Now, I don't know if I've ever thought of this question before in all the years we've been doing this.
Yeah.
All right. So you've got $15,000 worth of MedPay. Mm-hmm. There's four people in the car.
Yeah.
Is that 15 each or 15 total?
Generally, it all depends on the policy. It could be capped at 15 total. It also could be, there could be a, so much like your bodily injury numbers, you always have two numbers when it comes to bodily injury. It's normally a 100-300 policy or 25-50 policy. And what that means is each individual that's impacted by the crash has an individual limit. So it could be 15 And then the policy has a maximum that it will pay out of. In the case of a minimum limits, a lot of times it's a 25-50, they'll pay out a maximum of 50,000. Okay. Some are 25-25, so you only have 25,000 because that's the minimums for the state. Same thing with your 100-300 limit. So it would be 100,000 per person, 300,000 total for your bodily injury limits. Again, that's a discussion that you have with your insurance person about what the maximum recovery is relating to med pay on each individual policy. And every one of them are different.
And have you heard before when you ask someone, you know, you're looking at, maybe they bring their policy to you, look at it, and you say, oh, you don't have med pay. And they go, what's that?
Yeah, all the time. That's the same person that says they have full coverage.
Yeah.
And so it turns out in that particular company's mind, what full coverage is you have bodily injury coverage, you have comprehensive coverage, you have some uninsured, underinsured motorist coverage, but they decline coverage for MedPay because they save themselves $20 a month. And so then they don't have MedPay. So, but those are the sorts of, and then we see it all the time where a person will have liability coverage, comprehensive coverage, so you have coverage for property damage, and then they'll decline underinsured, uninsured motorist coverage, but then they loaded them up on MedPay coverage. Mm-hmm. But they have really good health insurance, so the MedPay really doesn't do them a whole lot of good. So it all depends on the company and what it is that they're really trying to sell. And a lot of times the companies will have their own sort of business model that's what's the most profitable for them.
Sure.
And those things will be the things that their salespeople will be trying to sell the person to maximize the recovery for the insurance policies.
And just going online and kind of checking a few boxes, again, you can see how easy it is not to be informed about some of these things we're going to talk about. If you're just joining us, Attorney Kevin Flesh is with us. It is Flesh and Beck Law, 303-806-8886. All right, the next one big is uninsured, underinsured. So my first question here is, are you seeing more? Because I remember several years ago you would say like, 25% of people, no insurance, maybe another 25% underinsured.
I think
are
it's higher.
Percentages higher?
Yeah, I think it's probably two-thirds of those. That group is probably two-thirds, maybe 60%. But it's significant. And the other thing that I'm seeing as well is people declining their uninsured, underinsured motorist coverage because they just don't understand what it is. That's the coverage that if I were to invest in anything relating to auto insurance, it's that coverage. And it's that coverage because it's covering you, because it's an actual coverage that's going to help you get money when you get into the horrific car accident and the other person has virtually no limits. I mean, in Colorado right now, our legal limits, the minimum limits that a person can have is 25,000 in bodily injury coverage. That's liability
that
coverage.
That is so low.
Right. I mean, you go, I just had I just was talking with a client yesterday who had a car accident where he had a closed head injury, and they went and they had a CT scan, an MRI, and he was in the ER for about 8 hours trying to figure out what exactly was going on with him. His bill from that ER visit was $41,000. Now, he had health insurance, and it ended up they paid about $8,000 for that health insurance. But in that case, that $25,000 limit, if he didn't have health insurance, would not have taken care of the bills that hospital had billed him for relating to that ER visit. And so he would have been out of pocket himself, even if he had gotten the full policy limits from that at-fault party, if he didn't have underinsured motorist coverage. And so that's what's really important for people to think about when they're deciding on what they need for coverages. So, for example, if you're a person that maybe you have assets of $500,000 or $1 million, so significant assets, you're going to want to get as much liability coverage as you can.
Mm-hmm.
That's generally in Colorado, you're going to get a $250,000 or a $300,000 policy relating to the bodily injury coverage, and then you'll probably get an umbrella as well to cover yourself. So in that case, you can probably get underinsured motorist coverage up to $300,000 or $400,000 or $300,000, similar to your bodily injury coverage. And you might be able to get limits relating to the umbrella policy as well. That's something that you'll just have to talk with your agent about. Well, that's going to be money well spent relating to, because you're a person that has assets, so that you don't have to use those assets if you get injured.
Hmm.
Because people have to remember it, if you get into a significant accident, and let's say you have health insurance that has, most health insurance has limits of $1 million. But if you get into a significant car accident where you're in the hospital for several months, you're going to run up $1 million bill for medical expenses. You're going to have to use your assets to cover that bill beyond health insurance in the event that, that you don't have adequate coverage there. And if someone has caused your injuries, you're going to want to be compensated for that. A lot of times, if you don't have these coverages, you're out because the person that has the minimum limits has zero in the way of assets as well. Mm-hmm. So you're going to want to think about those things when you're determining sort of both your estate planning and sort of your planning in general about how much risk you're willing to take in those situations where you get into a car accident.
Wow.
Yeah. Hmm. And it all comes back, you know, into having discussions with your insurance company on a regular basis so that on an annual basis, you're having these discussions to make sure you're adequately mm-hmm. covered so that when you come to my office after a horrific car accident, we have something to work with.
Yeah.
Because that's the worst situation.
Oh, no. Yeah. And, you know, there was a couple of years ago, I remember a listener contacted me and I called and they requested you come by the hospital. I mean, it was a serious accident. The person that caused the accident was killed. And a relative had actually, if my memory serves me right, a relative had actually sold the injured party, which was the related insurance. To them, their insurance, and didn't put a lot of this stuff and gave them the lowest limits. Again, just trying to keep their payments low.
Right.
And this was extensive, and it could have worked out really well. You know, when I say really well, I mean, everybody wants their health back, but I mean, they wouldn't have been in quite such bad shape.
Well, and the idea with this is exactly, you're not looking at it. It's not a lottery winning with these sorts of situations. Right. What it is it gives you the opportunity to have assets available so that you can make the person's life a little bit manageable. Because it's never a situation where a person is made whole. I don't care if you have commercial limits mm-hmm. relating to, you know, you get hit by a semi. It never takes care of really what the person needs in the way of getting them back to 100%. It just doesn't. In these significant injury cases, they're just devastating for people, and it's heart-wrenching then to have the conversation mm-hmm. like we did in that hospital room with, we're sorry, the best that you're going to be able to do is get the minimum limits from the at-fault party and the minimum limits from your own policy, hoping that the insurance companies will have a heart and give you the opportunity to take those monies and use it towards some other physical therapy or other things that you're going to need at the home now that the person will most likely end up at home in a wheelchair.
Right. Once again, you're listening to Legal Talk with attorney Kevin Flesch. Kevin's number 303-806-8886. All right, so when we talk about bodily injury, is that a separate kind of deal? Is that bodily injury and collision, or how does that work?
Yeah, so bodily injury coverage is, the best term is liability coverage.
Liability, okay.
Yep, so, and that's the part of the policy that by state law has to be minimums. So that's where the $25,000 limits come into play. That's the minimum limits in Colorado relating to when you hit somebody and you then are asked to compensate them for their their injuries. That's the limit that the insurance company will pay up to that limit. And that's, again, a discussion that you have with your insurance salesperson on what your assets are, what you believe is the amount of assets that you could lose if you were in a significant car accident and it was your fault and you caused injuries. You know, I mean, you have, if you've just gone through bankruptcy and you have no assets, maybe the minimum limits is what you need. But if you have any sort of equity in your house, any other assets, any savings, you're going to want to consider all of those things when you're making a determination mm-hmm. about what limits that you want. And adequate limits for, let's say, a middle-class family may be 100, 300.
Sure.
It may be higher than that, depending upon what their income is and what they're willing to take for risk in the way of a loss if you cause an injury to somebody. That's a personal decision that everybody has to make after consulting with an insurance professional and looking at their plan for what they have in the way of assets and what they're willing to risk in the event that something horrific were to happen.
Right.
You know, the other thing that you got to think about is if you got 16-year-old kids driving cars.
That was going to be my next question.
Yeah,
what do you do when you start adding these teenagers to driving? Because
Chances you want to add your limits. You want to increase your limits. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of those situations where you want to be, as parents, having gone through this the last few years, you want to make sure that you do everything that you can to have those kids trained, you know, put them through all the defensive driving courses you can, and then make sure that you understand that there really are decent drivers before they get behind the wheel of one of your cars.
Yeah. Also, you know, little even simple ones like towing and rental, different things like that, because, man, that can add up to a lot of dollars. And nowadays, just with the way things are and getting parts, your car could be in a shop a month.
That's right. And, and we're running into a lot of that. The rental car coverage is something that you definitely want to look into. A lot of times the at-fault party doesn't have rental car coverage. So if you have it on your policy, you can make a claim with your policy to get that taken care of. And it will help you in the long run. Because alternatively, what you have to do is you have to go rent a car, sure, keep all of those receipts, and then we make a demand for it against the at-fault party after we get everything taken care of relating to the personal injury side of the case.
Last thing we have time for here, it seems like everyone that gets into a wreck and they can fix their car, it's never equal to what the owner thinks the car is worth, and especially in the car market we are in now.
Yeah.
So what do you do there? Is that the gap insurance?
Yeah, so there's gap insurance. So what gap insurance is when you go and buy a car.
Right.
The idea is you buy this insurance so that if you get hit the next day, you always lose money on a vehicle once you drive it off the lot. It's never worth what you think it should have been,
sure,
when you bought it. There's always taxes and other things, and many times with the financing process, most people are financing a lot of those things. They're not really putting down enough money on a vehicle to make it, when you go and have to replace it, you're always upside down, or a lot of people are upside down. And so that gap insurance is there to make sure that if you are upside down, that it will cover the difference between the loan balance and what the vehicle was actually worth. So in many instances, the gap insurance may be something that's worth it for people in the event that they're not putting 20% down on a vehicle when they first buy it. Because if you have a wreck within the first couple of years of owning a vehicle, you're going to be upside down in that vehicle. And if you don't have the ready cash to pay off that loan balance, then you're going to be looking at, you just got into a car accident. Now they're valuing your vehicle at between wholesale and retail prices when it should be retail, but it's not. And you have the difference in what the value is to go and dispute it and file a lawsuit and everything else doesn't make sense economically, because it's a couple thousand dollars. This gap insurance comes in and helps you out with that.
Wow.
Even in today's environment, I'm still getting calls about that.
Yeah.
Because it's a big deal, and people aren't. The other thing that happens is they get into a vehicle loan that's maybe longer than 5 years to make the payment as little as possible, and it ends up that the vehicle's upside down when they get into a wreck.
Sure.
And they don't have the ready cash, so then they've got to work something out if they don't have the gap insurance.
Well, I'm telling you, hopefully we brought up a few things that will help you, but get with your agent, look at your policy, and if you haven't looked at it in a while, well, you may be shocked to see what you find there. And again, you think you have full coverage, but do you? Take a look at your policy. Give Kevin a call if you've got any questions. And once again, we always want to help you in any way we can. If you ever have questions for us, let us know. Hey, you can give me a text, 720-201-8585. If you've ever got legal questions, and we'll get them to Kevin. Kevin, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Legal Talk, brought to you by Flesh and Beck Law. Once again, 303-806-8886. Hope you have a great rest of your day.
Call now for a free consultation with Flesh and Beck Law, 303-806-8886, 303-806-8886, or visit fleshlawfirm.com. That's F-L-E-S-C-H, fleshlawfirm.com. A proven team dedicated to your legal needs.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
With rates on the rise, how do you get the best rate? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Did you know that when you get cash out, or your FICO score is below a 740, or you're financing a condo versus a single family home, it will cost you more in rate and fees? Many lenders are charging more. Stop paying it. At Affordable Interest Mortgage, we have lenders that don't charge. trying to purchase a second home, or is your loan amount considered a high balance or jumbo? There they go again, charging you more. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Let us show you a loan that doesn't charge more. Seeing a low rate but not reading the small print, only to realize all the extra costs and fees? Again, stop. Call 720-895-0500. Affordable interest mortgage. Quit paying fees and closing costs that are unnecessary. Get a low rate without all the extra costs. Let us show you how to save thousands. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable interest mortgage. 720-895-0500. Serving Coloradans for over 20 years. NMLS 298191. Regulated by DORA.
Zip around the neighborhood, commute to work, or ride the trails on an e-bike. Hi, I'm Randy Carancy, founder of eBike of Colorado. E-bikes are electric bikes that are fun and easy to ride. Pedal Assist technology flattens the steepest hills. At eBike of Colorado, we have 14 major brands to choose from, and our expert staff will find you the perfect bike. Just try it. Take a free test ride at eBike of Colorado in downtown Louisville next to the historic grain elevator. Open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Learn more at ebikeofcolorado.com. Just try it.
Do you know what direction the stock market will go? Nope, no one does. But it's extremely important to discover the tools you can use if the market goes up, down, or sideways. These same tools could be used for income strategies or long-term wealth strategies. Text the word investing to the number 210-210 and join us for a free investing class right here at OTA. Text the word investing to the number 210-210 today. Also, check out the podcast, Investing and Trading Live, wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to AM 560 KLZ, your home station.
This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for being with us. Be sure and check out our website. It's HaystackHelpRadio.com. There you'll find our podcast, you'll find our referral list, and we are proud to have one of our referral list members right now, and that is Paul Dowding with WaterPros. Paul, good to see you.
Good morning. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good, man. You've been busy, haven't you?
Yeah, we've been busy. Grateful.
You guys have been doing really good.
Yeah, we're doing, you know, it really helps with going on today. And,
sure.
You know, with the water quality and people concerned about drinking water. And then, you know, that's first and foremost on their mind, so we're able to help them out.
And, you know, sometimes we really don't think about something until it's brought to our attention a lot of time. And I'll be honest, I didn't. We bought a ton of bottled water and never really thought about things until I met you. And now proud to say that we have a very cool water in our house. And, man, I'll give you a little testimony here in a second. But I'm telling you, the day after, we could feel the difference. And you had me run some hot water for 30, 45 minutes, kind of flush the system, I guess. You ought to help me with the terms. But after that, man, you could feel the difference on the skin and your hair. I mean, just exactly what you said.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, another thing it does, too, is that it saves with our water resource, right, because you're cut back on soaps, detergents, and chemicals. And so that's, you know, less that goes into our water, you know, our water supply, because it's there.
Yeah.
And
you even told my wife with the dishwasher not to use the
pods
anymore.
Right.
Just a little touch of salt. And, man,
powder liquid. And then the same with our clothes, right? You know what I mean? You have a lot of soap and a lot of detergents built up on our clothes. That's the fabric. If you see T-shirts, especially undershirts, right, weekend shirts, and you see them raveling or get a hole, what happens? It's because they're not wearing out. It's because the soap is breaking down the fabric.
Okay.
Right? That's where lint comes from in the dryer, right? It's clothes. It's fabric.
Okay.
Right? Well, and so the fabric is basically, your soap is like abrasive. And it stays. And so with water softener, you cut back, you don't use as much soap. You know, there's companies out there that advertise they'll clean your carpet with no chemicals. Well, what are they using, right? Soft water. And so it's great for breaking down and fight stains. So you don't need, you know, 90% less of the cleaning products. And, you know, you save money naturally that way.
Right. And the test that you talked about here on the radio several times, and when you came over, we actually did it. And what I liked about this, this wasn't some kit you pulled out of a bag or something that was from you.
Right.
You said, get a bowl,
yeah,
get your washcloth, get your bottle of water. And so that, I mean, the proof was in the pudding, as they say.
Yeah, but people don't realize bottled water is soft water, mm-hmm. right? So that's another thing, is, you know, people think that water softening water doesn't taste good, but, well, you're drinking it when you buy bottled water. And so with soft water, what a way to demonstrate what's really going on, because that's in your house, it's your washcloth. And there's one thing we try to do is no gimmicks in our presentation,
right?
We want to educate and be factual. And in the market today, there's companies out there that want to do a long presentation, but, you know, there's the gimmick aspect, right? Mm-hmm. They take water and they change colors and they talk about contamination. There's legitimate issues that people should be concerned about without having to add a presentation that gives fear factor.
Right.
Right. And so, you know, we try to do, you know, various ways, but to bring it to your attention. And one of the things is, you know, look what's being left over. And so if this soap is trapped in the washcloth that stays in the clothes, mm-hmm. right, then it builds up. That's what's on the shower door. And then we want to go into, you know, what's used to clean hard water and soap film. And then now, you know, there's letters that are being sent out by water districts. Adams County was one. I think folks in Denver got one, concerned about the forever chemicals that are in our water supply, the PFOs, PFAs. You go to our website under products, in the bottom of the page, we have the document from the EPA, you know, that talks about what are those forever chemicals.
Right. So when your phone rings, somebody calls you, what are generally the first few reasons they mention of why they're calling you? And we'll get into everything that you offer, because it's not just the softener, just the filtration. But what are most people concerned about?
Right now, it's the drinking water, mm-hmm. quality drinking water. And then the other is the right next, the second is, you know, hard water. You know, they don't want, you know, ruining their appliances. So, you know, when you get into a, you know, brand new home, you see the wear and tear already, right? And it's an investment, you know. It's
sure.
Nowadays, average home price here is, what, $500,000?
Oh, yeah. God, no. Man, it's crazy.
You know, yeah. So it's something that, you know, they don't want, you know, their new home, the appliances, the wash machine, you know, especially the dishwasher, they see it, you know, to get ruined. And what's happening? What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Think about all the other chemicals that you buy, right, the jet dry. Right. And now,
right,
on top of your soap products for the wash machine, they have these little beads that they're add to basically make the towels and the clothes feel softer. So that's more conditioning. That's more product. Mm-hmm. Right. That's there. And it's unnecessarily really, truly is. And so when anything that you send down the drain or flush down the toilet, right, doesn't disappear, it dissipates.
Sure.
Right. And some chemicals get diluted where, you know, they eventually, you know, go to where you can't, untraceable levels, but others will stay and
right.
stay and stay. And that's why they call the forever chemicals. And so I think now I've always mentioned that, you know, I thought in the next 3 to 5 years, you know, water filtration, especially drinking water system, will be as common in a home as to your furnace and hot water heater. And hard water plays a part
mm-hmm.
in, you know, the quality of your drinking water, because water treatment isn't plug and play. So if you got really, you know, if your water is really hard, it's going to affect the operation of your drinking water filter.
Right. Absolutely. Paul Dowding is our guest. Again, it's Water Pros, waterpros.net. So what are these, this county, Adams County, like, what are they telling people?
Well, they're letting people know that the levels of the PFOs, PFAs in their water are at a higher level than what the EPA would say is safe. Or they're getting borderline to that point where, you know, hey, you really need to pay attention. And they're recommending that folks drink, you know, go out and buy bottled water. And mm-hmm. so, you know, this is something that couple years ago, trade publications led by the Water Quality Association, they did a study about these PFOs and PFAs. And about a handful of years ago, I believe the, you know, it was brought to everybody's attention in Colorado Springs, right, by the military base, to the point where I'm pretty sure the military base was providing bottled water or giving folks, you know, water pitchers. And some communities here now are giving water pitchers to help, you know, reduce the, you know, the chemicals in the right. drinking water. So it's something that, you know, now it's come to fruition. It's here, and we really need to think about, you know, what we're doing with our water environment. And that's a resource. Water has been around as old as the planet, right? It's reusable. Yeah. I mean, there's no brand new water.
Who would have ever dreamed? I don't know when it came out, bottled water, but who would have ever dreamed, man, that we would pay? And it's a bazillion-dollar industry, isn't it?
Well, it is. And I remember back in the 80s, I was in high school, and bottled water's like, are you kidding me? Who would buy that, right? And then it got to be where bottled water was more expensive, right, than a gallon of gas. Not anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
For sure.
But I remember that. And so it's first, I think it started out as a fad, right? Mm-hmm. You know, style having a bottle of water, and now it's something that is going to be a necessity. But the other thing too is, you know, the plastics, right? That, you know, sure. And so that's another issue
somewhere,
right? And so, you know, we got another, you know, recycling, you know, they're trying to, you know, cut down the waste, and it's ending up, you know, in the oceans, right? Landfills. Mm-hmm. And sometimes these plastics don't break down. And you also have to figure, too, when you get, you know, thousands and millions of pounds of waste that are buried, you know, every week, you know, in our landfills, you know, water, rainwater is going to run through all that.
Sure.
Right. And eventually water will go through all those contaminants that we try to bury, all our garbage, mm-hmm. and it gets back into our main water supply, our aquifer. So we really need to pay attention, because with water quality, that's the essential part of life is water.
Sure.
And so water quality, I think, is something that's going to be more relevant today as a necessity. Years ago, you know, water softening was something that has been around since the 40s, mm-hmm. right? Okay. And so people had to go to somebody's home. When I first got involved in water treatment, you know, you had to, you know, show them. You had to do, it was necessary to create the, you know, the issue of why do you need, you know,
yeah, the
water
need.
Sharper.
You had
right.
to create the need, because right. I didn't know.
Right. So, yeah. you know, you did the soap test. It was one of the things that you did. And then you showed them the savings and what it could do. And now I think it's, you know, it's more about drinking water quality, to pay attention about drinking water. Well, if you have soft water, then your water filter is not going to be occupied by hard water. And hard water will, you know, beat up a water filter and prevent it from performing as designed. And so it's like a 1-2 punch. Think, you know, the 99% of the water we use in our home right now is from, you know, for showering, for cooking, cleaning, and it's the 1% for drinking and cooking, you know, that's for the drinking water mm-hmm. part of it. So, you set it up with, you know, the 1-2 punch. You take care of the water for everyday use, and then you have that great water for, you know, drinking and cooking.
All right. Do you think with COVID, too, you – kind of saw an uptick because more people were home and drinking probably from home, and you know,
yeah.
hadn't been there. No, most of us don't spend much time at the house,
well,
man.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You know, everybody works from home now, right?
Sure.
But, you know, that's another good point, too. We used to, majority of our visits when we went to visit somebody was during the evening, right? So they get home and, you know, got to get the kids fed,
yeah.
right? And after dinner.
7 o'clock
right?
or something.
So it's kind of, you know, it was like you felt like you were intruding in somebody's life, right? Now it's so relaxed. You get to somebody's home, they work there, they're ready for you, you know, they can, you know, fit you in their schedule, and you know, they're in their comfy clothes, and you know, so it's a easier approach and, you know, conversation, because you know, it's different than someone, you know, just getting home from work and, oh yeah, we got the water guy coming over, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a different approach. And it's more comfortable and relaxing. And I think now, because of that, you know, think about what they did on what they, how they could tell that the virus was uptick is what they, how'd they test? They went to what? The waste treatment
mm-hmm.
and got viruses there, right? And so if we thought about what happens, you know, with your water, right? And when it goes to the waste treatment plant, and then what they do from that point, right, and then they dump it right back into the rivers, lakes, streams, and reservoirs that we draw it right back from.
Wow. Paul Dowding is our guest. It is Water Pros. WaterPros.net, their number, 303-862-5554. All right, so for those that hadn't caught you on the last couple of months, so since you've been with us, let's kind of give just an overall look of what you guys offer.
So we do whole house water filtration, right? Water softening, water conditioning. We do reverse osmosis drinking water systems on a small scale, large scale. We do also do, we specialize in whole home reverse osmosis units. And those are designed for folks that live in the rural area where they have multiple problem issues. And so, you know, reverse osmosis in a lot of cases is needed because of high total dissolved solid levels, which can mean various contaminants, high sodium levels, uranium, you know, can be an issue in well water here in Colorado.
Right.
So, you know, we offer solutions for that. We've also designed with, you know, proven technology, we have a whole house unit now that we can handle the forever chemicals and remove them, you know, for the whole house level, you know, at a very, you know, affordable price. And we use multimedias, you know, that filtration. And so it allows us to achieve, you know, the maximum, you know, as far as the quality, you know, at every single faucet in the home. So that's something that we focus on and try to offer products that meet the needs of the water problems. You know, Colorado is a mixed bag of nuts when it comes to water quality. And, you know, folks in, you know, Louisville, for example, have naturally soft water. There's some folks that, you know, went to a house and buyers on Friday and neighbors around him, you know, within a couple miles, their water quality had, you know, really hard water, high iron content, and brand new build, you know, brand new home. And he had naturally soft water. It's same area. I mean, it's not uniform. I mean, where I came from in the Midwest, you know, from county to county, the water was going to be the same.
Sure.
You know, it's really hard limestone. And so you just had hard water. And so, but here it's just different.
Wow. Once again, Paul Dowding is our guest. Water Pros, give him a call, 303-862-5554. It's waterpros.net. You're listening to Haystack Cup Radio. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Chris Kane with 303roofer.com. If you're looking to put on a new roof because of hail, give us a call at 303-390-1382. We'll give you a cash price, which means you'll most likely get to keep some of your insurance money instead of giving it to us. It's your money, we know that, and we'll price the work accordingly. So give us a call today, 303-390-1382, or go to our website, 303roofer.com.
Hey, before we get back to the show, I just want to take a minute and say a personal word about Stack Optical. I've been going to Allen for over 10 years, and it's with great confidence that I can say you should trust all of your optical needs to Stack Optical as well. Allen, which you've heard on our show many times, has been taking care of his customers since 1968, and yes, it's still family-owned and operated. So if it's time for your eye exam, I hope you'll call 303-321-1578 and get your eye exam scheduled. And folks, it's only $69. So go check out the great selection of frames. And since Stack Optical has their own on-site lab, you'll have your new glasses in just a couple of days. So for glasses, prescription sunglasses, contacts, and even repairs, go see Stack Optical, 2233 South Monaco Parkway in Denver. The number is 303-321-1578, stackoptical.com. And at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. Always good to have Paul Dowding with us from Water Pros. WaterPros.net. Once again, their number, 303-862-5554. So, Paul, when you see all these different things, I mean, the government's in about every area of our life, but how do we know what to trust with different things like this EPA stuff and all this?
Great question. And I have to agree. Sometimes, you know, how do you know what to trust? But there was, before the EPA got involved, there were outside agencies trying to get the EPA to pay attention to this.
Okay.
So this was these were independent, you know, companies that were doing testing that were saying, hey, this is an issue, and finally brought it to the government's attention where the government, you know, issued a guidelines that municipalities are following. That's part of the reason why these communities are sending out the letters, was because it's an EPA, you know, guideline, right? It's kind of like the CDC has guidelines, well, the EPA. And what we're talking about is a polyfluorinated substances. And so that's PFAS in short. But these are man-made chemicals that are in our environment because decades of use of frying pans, right? Nonstick frying pans,
right.
and our clothes, the water-resistant pants. Remember the doctors that they came out, right? Water-resistant?
Mm-hmm.
So everything gets into, like I mentioned before, gets into the landfill, so water runs through that. Then they find this water-resistant repellent and firefighting foam, which is really huge for our state because of the firefighters using that to fight the wildfires, right? And then, you know, anything that was on wooden decks and the stain on the wooden decks, right, that was used for water-resistant chemicals, that's part of it, okay. Part of the group, okay? Some people... back in the day had those wood chick roofs, and they sprayed that chemical, you know, on those roofs. I don't think those are around anymore, right? Mm-hmm. But so anything that's a water resistant repellent, water repellent, Rain-X, for example. And so they've been there's right now to date, there's over 3,000 chemicals out there that still have this agent that it's in everyday use. So you know, and that's down from hundreds of thousands of them. Okay. So when we use our water and goes into the waste treatment plant, now you also have, you know, all the vitamins, right, that people take, the drugs that people take, the antibiotics that people take, on top of the soaps, cleaners, detergents that people use. That's all in wastewater. So what they do with the wastewater is they take the solids out, right, and then they dump everything back into the same water resources that they pull it from. So this is all reusable water. Right, it's all reusable. You're not pulling from any new being used. Now they're down because of a drought, right? And so that means that we're just not getting moisture and rain. But the same amount of water that's on our planet today was in the planet billions and billions of years ago, where the dinosaurs bathed in. Same amount.
Wow.
So that being said, as society grows, our municipality grows, water usage demand increases. So you can figure the kind of waste that's being dumped in, right? Okay, so then when they give you the water to drink, what are they doing? Are they taking the time to run it through nanofiltration filters before we get it? No. Mm. They take, you know, they measure them out, and every single chemical or contaminant has a standard guideline that's acceptable to be in there, okay? A lot of folks are concerned about fluoride. Fluoride's natural. You know, it's added, but it's also natural in the water supply. And that's something that, that people want to do away with because of, you know, gum disease, right? I remember years ago in Henderson, Nevada, they had a big issue in kids, the teeth were rotting away because of high fluoride content. So with that, you know, you have to look at with all these emerging contaminants that are coming now, and then, you know, we take a glass of water, well, it's not 100% H2O anymore. And so what's happening is that you have to consider, you know, how do we stop, right, you know, the contamination? And right. One of the ways to do that, the contamination part, is cut back on certain cleaners and detergents, and that's where the water softener comes in. And it's something that it aids in the quality of our drinking water for the future, because if you cut back in contamination, then, because it's still going to be there, right? It's not like it's going to be eliminated.
Sure.
And so it's something that we can do to reduce it for the future.
I remember several years ago, and I don't even remember how long ago this was, but I just remember on the news one time, they went out to some area here in Colorado, and they were lighting, actually, the water coming out of a kitchen. Yeah, what was that about?
Methane, yeah.
You know, do you see that anymore?
It happened, and I think it was northern Colorado, right? Yeah, so, you know, one of the things to think about is, you know, look at all the new homes going up and all the access to the same amount of water that we had. So there's really, mm-hmm. you know, it's water resources has increased. People have increased. Well drilling. I mean, you folks are moving outside the metro area. I mean, the East, you know, Byers, Stroudsburg, are, you know, they're growing because people want to move away. You know, the home prices are a little bit, you know, less expensive than what right. you would find in the metro area. And then people, you know, want a quieter community, you know, and so they'll take the, you know, the commute, an hour and a half drive, you know, getting into work. But now also, because folks work out of the home, it allows them to, you know, not stay, you know, in such mm-hmm. a busy, you know, population area. But they still, you know, are going need water. So, you know, you're drawing at the same aquifer. And I think where we're at, water rolls downhill, right? Water eventually is from the mountains and it flows, you know, eastward, down, you know, to the plains. And so You know, it's the same, you know, same resources. So you go underground and you're, and well drilling used to be where, you know, you drill one well and that's it. And the water that that well gave you was the quality you had to live with. But I'm, you know, seeing that's changing, maybe because, you know, the governments, you know, local governments, you know, like the permit fees. And, sure. you know, I mean, to drill a well, you could spend close to $50,000, mm-hmm. right? So with the permit fees based on the percentage of that.
Wow.
So it's something that in the grand scale of things, you know, builders, I even tell builders and even tell real estate agents, if, you know, you're going into a home, you know, you need to, you know, talk about the water and the water quality, because now that is something. Water quality on a real estate purchase is where if people aren't told that, hey, you got problem water, your water is going to smell, you're going to, you know, rust stains in your water, then, you know, they're going back and complaining, saying, hey, why wasn't this, you know, divulged to me up front? This wasn't disclosed. And so, you know, you have to say, I can't guarantee the quality of your water. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't be responsible for it. And the EPA on their website tells folks that, you know, if you have a private well, your well quality, you know, and the testing and monitoring is your own responsibility.
Right. And like you said, it's not like you got to move from one area of the state to another. It could be relatively close, as you mentioned a little while ago. The water could be different.
Right. Absolutely.
And who thinks about that?
Well, yeah, no. Yeah. And so, you know, major cities with problem water, you know, Inglewood has hard water, Littleton Highlands Ranch, you know, the Commerce City Reunion area. And then you figure all those new homes that Aurora's building on 470, you know, they're just, you know, going to, it's, and they're popping up quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, used to be when you went from, you know, got off on 470 on Smoky Hill, you drive all the way to, you know, the airport, you know, there was nothing to the east of you. And now look at it, you know, subdivisions are bopping up in Commerce City. You know, that's growing like wildfire, you sure. know, Reunion area. It's just, you know, and both sides of Tower Road going into Commerce City is going to have, you know, homes are coming up left and right. And so it's the same water that everybody's going to be tapping into. What will happen is that they'll inject more total chlorine content to the water to sanitize it, right? So if you get water that's hard, mm-hmm. you know, you have to live with the hardness, but iron content and any other contaminant, how they disinfect it is with a chloramine. So chloramine is ammonia mixed with chlorine, and they do that because the two combined have a longer contact time so they can kill bacteria and viruses. I, on that note, have an ultraviolet light on my, for the whole house just because of, you know, I don't want any kind of, you know, viruses
exactly.
or bacteria.
Sure.
City of Inglewood had an E. coli outbreak in their water supply. How does that happen? How do they get E. coli? Well, that tells you where the water's coming from, because what is E. coli, right? That comes from water, you know, mm-hmm. what, you know, the waste that we flushed on the toilet. And so it's yeah. And so you think about that.
Absolutely. Great note to end on here for during our lunch hour. But hey, I tell you what, again, Paul, came out, installed a water softener for us, and I'm telling you, we love it, and you will feel the difference, taste the difference. It is Water Pros, waterpros.net. Call 303-862-5554. Talk to Paul. Get him set up to come out and take a look and just, hey, kind of just tell you what you've got going on in your own house. And I promise you, he'll take great care of you. And if you would, please mention you heard him here on Haystack Help Radio.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.